Hashtag, hello and welcome. My name is the Alpha Female, and you are listening to Turnbuckle Talk.
Whoa! G'day, mateys. Bushwhacker Luke here, 2015 Hall of Famer, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Talk. Yeah! Whoa!
This is pro wrestling's only modern-day Viking Gunner, and you're on Turnbuckle Talk.
Hey, this is Nick Magnus Tollers, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Talk.
Hi, this is Leva Blue Pants Bates, and you are listening to Turnbuckle Talk.
Hey, this is Jeff Jarrett, the King of the Mountain and founder of Global Force Wrestling, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Talk. Hey, fellas, you guys have a great day, and this is only because I'm talking to Canadians. It is actually spitting snow in Tennessee.
See?
Oh, my God.
We've had 70-degree weather here. We really had a warm December, and I get on the phone with damn Canadians, and we're spitting snow, so.
It is Tuesday night, and you are here on Turnbuckle Talk. This is episode number 365, Lack of Defenses. I am Carl Carafell. I am joined alongside Chris Best and OMD. And once everything catches up and microphones are available for everybody, we can get ourselves into this show. OMD, how you doing, brother?
I am doing very, very well, brother. Thank you for asking. Yourself?
I'm doing well. I have nothing that I need to complain about because nobody gives a crap anyways. Chris Best, how are you?
Do you see what I mean by technology doesn't like me today?
I do see that.
I'm doing pretty good. A little bit frustrated at technology, but I'll sit down and have a proper candlelit dinner with it and work my magic with it. You know what I mean?
I understand fully. Before we kick off the show today, I do want to let everybody know that if they want to help support the channel, there's an easy way for them to do it and look stylish at the same time. Check out carlcarafell.redbubble.com. That is carlcarafell.redbubble.com. While there is a number of different items that you can take a look at and choose from, whether it is t-shirts, ball caps, stickers, posters, even water bottles that are available there for you from a number of different shows that are available here on Turnbuckle Studios. We have a number of different items to go through here today, and a lot of them seem to be brand new issues and things that have come up. Uh-huh. Chris Best, you are the curator of topics, so to speak. So I'm going to let you take the reins and let us know what the first topic for tonight is.
Okay, so I know that you kind of want to get this off your chest because we've already talked at length about this today, but there is a backstage report on what WWE is doing with this ECW project that was announced is coming up. It has been announced that the project coming up is a legend biography on ECW. Now, I know, Carl, you had a lot of things to say about this, so I'm going to let you have the floor on this one.
Thank you very much for that. First of all, I'm going to say that this is absolutely fantastic for not only the WWE, but also for professional wrestling fans, for us to be able to get a little bit of a biography, so to speak, an inside look back into ECW. Where my issues are coming in is that I am upset that it is only going to be, as of right now, one episode. Mm-hmm. Now, JJ is in here. JJ, thank you so much for coming in. And he's asking, what else can be said about ECW with a number of question marks? What stories haven't been told? Now, this is where my issue is coming in with this entire thing. We have heard a lot of the stories from ECW already. The WWE has even created different discs, different programs revolving around ECW, the rise and fall of ECW being one of the biggest ones that is out there. So why are we focusing once again on just simply ECW? Why do we not take a focus onto different stars: Shane Douglas, Sabu, Tommy Dreamer, The Sandman, and allow those stories to be told. Now, I know that for a few of those names, like Tommy Dreamer, Shane Douglas, yes, we've heard a lot from them over the years, but why not do a biography on them and create an entire series for just the ECW alumni?
Yeah, I mean, in our Facebook chat, I happen to say that you can do an entire season on just ECW guys. You can do one on Rhino, do one on Tajiri, do one on Mike Awesome, whose story hasn't yet to be told. You can do one on Paul Heyman, and I'm pretty sure there already is one out there on Paul Heyman. I don't know. JJ Sabu, yeah, give me a Sabu biography all day, every day. I mean, he would be very interesting given his relationship with Ed Farhat, the original Sheik. You could even talk about like some of the earlier wrestlers from ECW. Again, like you talked about Shane Douglas, Superfly Jimmy Snuka. Mm-hmm. Why is his name escaping me right now? Terry Funk. There we go.
Yes. Yeah.
You can do one on him. You can even do biographies on certain ECW shows, like the first ECW pay-per-view. You can do a biography on that and how that came to be.
Right. November to Remember, December to Dismember. Mm-hmm. Like, why not? Why not?
Mm-hmm.
No, I am all for this as well. And especially, yes, doing a whole season on ECW would be amazing. And I mean, let's not forget, I mean, there are a number of ECW alum who have had their biographies already done in Mick Foley, Steve Austin, Rick Rude. Right,
but a lot of those were very WWE centric and Absolutely. Not ECW centric.
Absolutely. Like, they can go back and look at Stunning Steve Austin at Cactus Jack, Chris Jericho, Rey Mysterio.
Right? And I mean, those are all great names, but I'd want to stay away from those names.
Right.
Give me people that are like Scorpio, right? Mm-hmm. JJ saying Scorpio.
Fantastic. Fantastic dude, by the way. I'll just put that out there.
Yeah, he definitely is. But instead of giving us, as you know, they always do, giving us these huge named stars, people understand and know that ECW was kind of an underground market when it came to professional wrestling. So why the hell not give us names that are not huge? Mm-hmm. Give us these smaller names that maybe didn't make it over to big time in the WWE. Hell, give me Spike Dudley.
Right.
Okay. He left the professional wrestling mm-hmm. business. He went on to do good things outside of professional wrestling. Give me those types of stories when it comes to how maybe ECW was used as a transition for him and how ECW helped get him into where he is today. Yeah. Right? Uh-huh.
And I mean, to your point, Carl, it's because they are doing the filming at the 2300 Arena over WrestleMania weekend. Mm-hmm. So it's again going to be more WWE centric as opposed to let's go back and really revisit it. Like, and this is a concern I have. Is it going to be more of the WWE washed out version? Or is it going to be on ECW?
It's going to be on ECW. I wonder if they do talk about the reboot of ECW. Kind of hope they don't. But Carl, you mentioned you happen to say some of the lower names, some of the lesser known names that we don't really think about. And it got me thinking about professional wrestling stalwarts. We talked about Sting, who is straight up WCW. Talked about Undertaker, who is straight up WWE. There's one guy that came to my mind that I always thought was straight up ECW that should have a biography, and that is Mikey Whipwreck. Yes. I would love it if they did a biography on him.
Yeah. No, damn right. Damn right. Why not?
100%.
Mm-hmm.
Why not? And these are names that, like, so us and I even hate to say it this way, but us in the older generation now of professional wrestling fans would absolutely lose our minds over that. You know, even JJ saying, yeah, Mikey Whipwreck deserves one. And he also puts out there that a WCW biography series too, for him, that would hit a little bit more close to home than an ECW, unless they're doing individual characters, like I was saying. And I really do believe that doing individual characters would make this that much better. And how this wasn't thought about by anybody within the WWE or A&E is beyond me. Or it could be that maybe they did and the idea was shut down.
Right. I also thought about some ECW tag teams that I wouldn't mind seeing. The Eliminators, the Pitbulls, the Pitbulls, Dudley Boys. Yeah. Even, I know they did a Dark Side of the Ring on him, but New Jack.
Yeah.
New Jack has a very interesting story, by the way.
Yes, yes, he does.
Right? It's just unfortunate that for that, we won't be able to hear from him anymore from New Jack, right?
Not to bring it down further, but Chris Candido also has a fantastic ECW story as well.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. As long as we leave Sonny out of the equation, I'm fine with that.
Yeah,
but the thing is, with Chris Candido, Sonny's going to be brought up in that if they did do that.
I know. As long as she isn't
on the show.
Of it. Yes, right. Yes. They can bring her up. They can give us all the clips that they want from her back in the day, whatever. I'm cool with that. But if she appears on my screen from her jail cell, no thank you.
Right.
And there's another thing. The women of ECW could also have a biography on themselves. Absolutely. Beulah McGillicuddy, for instance.
Dawn Marie.
Francine.
Kimona Wanalea.
Right? Yeah. JJ saying Vice did Chris and New Jack to, well, no one else can touch what Dark Side of the Ring did.
But see, Dark Side only touched on the dark side of what their careers were like. You can bring it back with the biography and touch on some of the lighter things that they have done in the ring. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Bulk Bogan, yeah. Thank you so much for coming in, brother. Really appreciate you jumping in here with us as well. Saying the Mummy, very short lived, but why not give it include into somehow, right?
Could even do one on 911 if you really wanted to.
Yeah.
Balls Mahoney, and well, the one my son is named after, and Axel Rotten.
Right.
There is a right. You can do a rival series on those two, actually.
Yep.
Yeah.
Amish Roadkill, CW Anderson, who was a guest on this show, I believe, at one point.
Yes, he was.
Give me anything Amish Roadkill, man. He was the dude, okay? Him and Danny Doring were the two guys that got me sold on ECW. So,
yeah.
do one on Lance Storm. Lance Storm needs a biography, by the way.
Yep.
And if it isn't called, if I can be serious for a minute, we have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Gotta go with that. that's my take on it anyways. You know, I absolutely love the fact that they were doing something on ECW. I was somebody who enjoyed watching ECW, who kind of patterned my in-ring career after ECW. Not to the light tube extent that they did. I did not go that bright with my career, but the use of kendo sticks, the use of weapons, the use of thumbtacks, stuff like that, I was in my freaking element and absolutely loved it. And I put it out there again for anybody. If there is anybody that has kendo sticks that they do not want or are using, you can get a hold of me and you can send them to me because I will take your kendo sticks.
There's actually something I thought about that they can, I don't think they've really touched up on when doing ECW documentaries, but how much of an influence ECW has had on the current crop of wrestlers we have now, how it influenced the Attitude Era, essentially.
Yep.
100% it did. 100% it did. Mm-hmm. There is no doubt that that opened it up, because ECW started becoming a lot more popular because of the brashness of the sport that was happening at that time. And a lot of people were kind of getting, humdrum, same BS going on week in, week out with the bigger companies. But then comes along this, holy crap, like they are hitting each other with steel chairs. They're hitting each other with kendo sticks. They have got thumbtacks they're throwing out into the ring, trash cans, you name it. They were using it. Yep. And it was something that was just, it amped everybody up to the point where it's like, yeah. And it was just such a release out of people that's what they enjoyed, because it gave them almost a sense of comfort being able to live vicariously through these characters.
You know, I'm almost thinking that if A&E were smart and they did this full season, you could do another A&E rivalries. Because there's one key name that we've forgotten in all of this, and that is Raven.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, Raven Tommy Dreamer, man.
Ooh.
Ooh. Give me that again today, and okay. I would sit down and watch it in its entirety. That was such a good rivalry.
Another rivalry, since we're talking Raven, that brought a lot of realism to it, Raven and Sandman.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I love
Give
Sandman.
Me that one. Yeah.
I do. Balls Mahoney.
Yep.
Like so many, right? And we're only 17 minutes into this broadcast. We've only talked this about maybe I'd say 15 minutes. And already we have all of these names and all of these different rivalries. We have essentially in 15 minutes just put together an entire season
of two different shows.
A&E of two different shows.
Yep.
Just based around EC Dub. Parrish, how you doing, brother? Good to
How's
see you.
How's it going, brother?
Parrish.
Coming in on some ranting.
Yeah.
We forgot Daddy.
Like JJ's got Taz. An interesting point.
How big was Taz for ECW?
Absolutely.
Again, you talk rivalries, Taz and Sabu.
Right? Yep. Right. And Daddy's sitting right there and we completely missed him. Sorry. You were saying JJ? JJ says.
JJ coming in saying, why not do one on Bill Alfonso? I mean, here's a guy who came up through the business as a referee, goes to ECW as a referee again, becomes an on-screen character, and manages another guy we haven't mentioned, Rob Van Dam.
RVD, yep. Yeah, blow my whistle, baby. I know that means totally different things. So lock it, toss it. Parrish, no, I did not get it out of my system enough yesterday. Did not. Yeah.
But he's also coming in and saying that Taz was essential to ECW, not just big. He was very essential to ECW.
100% he was.
Yeah.
He was one of the four pillars of ECW. Although I think everybody in ECW was a part of that foundation, regardless.
Right.
They were. It was a total team effort there on trying to get the ECW product off the ground.
Yeah.
And yeah, Parrish, you're right. Parrish, he was quite small, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Small in stature, but a frickin' bulldog. Yeah, pit bull going on right there. And I didn't want to use the word pit bull because, you know, there was a wrestler called Pit Bull. So I wasn't going to, you know, but Bulk Bogan is saying Raw was amazing last night. Top five of this year. I disagree.
Yeah.
Partially.
Partially. Definitely partially.
I have not seen Raw yet. I fell asleep watching it at midnight because I didn't get home until 10 o'clock.
Understandable. I know why. Wait till the second half.
I explained to Wimby. But since somehow we moved from ECW to WWE, what do you say we stay with the WWE? And something that was leaked today, WWE's consensual relationship policy has been leaked. It explains in this letter that the rules, I suppose you could say, for having a relationship in the locker room. This is something that we've seen in not in pro wrestling, but in our daily work lives as well. So what do you guys kind of make of this, like, of these rulings? Like,
I'm okay with it. I'm sure at one point or another, we've all had a relationship in the workplace that's divided.
Mine are no bad.
Yours and mine both. That's sort of divided people. So, you know, I'm all for it. I mean, we do see a number of couples in WWE, although none of us would ever describe them as power couples other than for that brief run that Becky and Seth had a number of years ago. So, yes, to have to go and report it to HR and discuss it, and I believe, like, probably a full sit-down interview about it, then I'm okay with it, so that way everything is kosher within the workplace, within the environment.
Yeah, so I'm reading that. Sorry, Cara, go ahead.
No, it's perfectly fine. I just want to make sure that I'm clear on what I was reading in case I have read something incorrectly. But essentially what it's saying is that if you are going to have talent-to-talent relationships within the workplace, then it needs to be brought to management so that they're aware of. And there will be no talent-to-management relationships that are going on. Correct? Right. Okay.
I literally just read that myself. There will also be no relationships between corporate individuals as well, according to what I'm reading, which is, I mean, given current circumstances that we're not going to touch on, kind of interesting that came out suddenly. But talent-to-talent relationships, I'm glad that there's a way that they can navigate how to work through this if there's a breakup between talent or whatever, you know what I mean?
Right. JJ, I don't know why they have really come up with this. I don't know that something happened. He's asking, did something happen? I don't know. Bulk, I hope that kind of answers your question, because that was a question that I kind of had as well, because I wanted to make sure that my understanding was correct on it. I am perfectly fine if somebody within, you know, talent wants to. Okay, so look at it this way. If the WWE were to be like, you can't have talent-to-talent relationships within this company. Have they not just started another series here? You know, Love in the WWE. So if we're not going to have relationships between talent and talent, you're taking this entire thing away from what you have available to get more money for the company.
Mm-hmm. And let's face it, these guys and girls, they're on the road 300 days out of the year.
Right.
Something is bound to happen. Something is going to happen, regardless if you say no to it or not. Something is going to happen regardless. So it's good that OMD is destroying his studio.
He is. Jay, to my understanding, why this all came about is because of the issues that went on with the previous owner of the WWE, so that stuff like that does not happen again. That's what I'm understanding from the couple articles that I have read. That's really where all of this is coming and stemming from. Parrish is saying, but I really want to have talent to management because my talent should be managed in a relationship. I get that. Boys will be boys. Is that how the saying goes? Vincent Kennedy McMahon.
Yeah.
I got no problem saying his name.
Yeah, no. Me neither. But, I mean, this again, this is something that we've all seen in our daily work lives.
Yeah.
So to me, it's actually kind of good that they've done that. They actually should have done this a long while ago when Drew McIntyre had that relationship trouble.
I can go back even further and maybe a Mark Merrow and Rena.
Right.
Triple right. H
yes,
in China.
Yes, Parrish. So what we're saying, Parrish, is talent to management relationship has no chance in hell.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah. But all in all, I'm fine with these rulings that they've put out. I'm glad that there's ways for the talent to navigate this if there's ever any personal issues where they break up. I'm glad that these policies are in place.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, of course. And yeah, like they're not saying that, you know, talent. Now, when we say talent, we mean the wrestlers, the ones who we see on our screens wrestling week in and week out. Not saying that they cannot come together in a relationship, but just that if there is a relationship that begins, just kind of go and speak with, TKO and just kind of let them know, hey, this is the situation. We have given ourselves to each other and we are a couple, right?
Yeah.
What do you think?
I do consider refs talent. Anybody who appears on screen is talent.
Absolutely.
That's my look at it. So you could be Adam Pearce, Nick Aldis, the announcers, the referees, the wrestlers, even the guys that they bring in for like jobber matches. They're all talent, you know?
Yep. The security.
GMs, I would include them as well.
Speaking of security, I've got an interesting thing that happened to me today that I was watching on YouTube that I saw that kind of surprised me. And you know what? I'm going to go out and flat out tell you. But I was watching. So when I'm doing my editing here for the shows and whatnot, I usually have some kind of wrestling on YouTube going on. Right. And it suddenly showed me Braun Strowman and Roman Reigns contract signing for Payback in 2017. That broke down into a brawl all over the arena. There was a security guard who got taken out. And I'm like, wait a minute. That security guard looks so familiar. Who is that? Rewind it again. Watch it. And it still wasn't clicking. Rewind it again. Watch it. Still wasn't clicking.
So I just saw him.
I know. I hit pause and I'm like, that's Danny Duggan. Holy hell.
Yeah. We literally just saw him this past Friday.
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, jeez. Bulk, I would not consider producers as talent.
No.
They are in a managerial role producing and helping with that side of things. So I would not consider them talent.
Yeah, and there's also the fine line for Nick Aldis and Adam Pearce on that one because they also serve as producers as well.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yes. Yeah.
But no, all in all,
half an hour into the show, and I mean, we've already gotten great responses from everybody here. We want to say thank you to each and every one of you for coming in and spending your time with us here on a Tuesday evening, giving us your comments and talking along with us. I really, really do appreciate that. And if you guys are happy with what we are doing, please, please tell your friends and let them know. There's a number of different ways for everyone to listen to the show or watch the show. You guys all know what they are. But if you are on the road and you want to listen to the show, please download the Good Pods app. We are not paid by Good Pods or affiliated with them at all. We just understand that they are new, up and coming, and they give ratings as well. So you were able to go in and give ratings for us on the show. That's goodpods.com/broadcasts/turnbuckle-talk-264524. That is goodpods.com/podcasts/turnbuckle-talk-264524. While you're there listening to the show, give us a rating on that. It would be greatly appreciated. For those in the video land that are watching us right now, I'm going to leave that link down below here for you guys scrolling across the bottom. And yeah, I just wanted to make sure that everybody knew about Good Pods. And when they are, you know, when you guys are going there and leaving, you know, your likes and leaving your five stars on it, it does push us up in the rankings. And when it's pushed up, it goes out to more people. So if you guys can help out with that, it doesn't cost you a thing, but does help us out.
Oh, yeah. Bulk Bogan also saying like Tyson Kidd and Natty, although Tyson and Natty were together long before they came to the WWE. So
yes, they were.
What do you say we hop across the pond and go to the land of the rising sun for a moment?
Okay.
We've talked about the unification of all the Japanese wrestling promotions, the United Japan Pro Wrestling Alliance. They finally have announced their very first event.
Ooh.
Coming May 5th. We are going to be seeing what they're calling, or we're going to be seeing what they're calling All Together. It's not announced which matches are happening, but already I'm intrigued to see how this goes. I've always been kind of a fan of these promotions getting together to do one show, because I'm always interested in how the booking style is going to work. What do you guys make of this situation right now?
This is interesting. I remember when we brought up the fact that New Japan was joining up on Turnbuckle Talk here, and leading up. And I remember they had announced that they were going to be doing a show. I believe it was May. But again, yeah, we didn't know what was going to happen, how it was going to be done, or even where. We just knew it was actually going to be a show. So I am intrigued to see where they go from here, because you've got 9 different promotions now coming together under one banner for a show.
Yes, we do. I'm trying to find the article. Somebody sent it to me. I can't remember who it was. I think it was you. Yeah, there it is. I found it. United Pro Wrestling.
Yeah, it was
United
me.
Japan Pro Wrestling announces their first joint events. And yes, All Together is what it is called. Representatives from United Japan Pro Wrestling subgroups participated in a press conference to announce the first 2 joint events. Hiroshi Tanahashi,
yes.
Namichi Marufuji, and Sanshiro Takagi, representing New Japan, Noah, and DDT, were at the press conference. I love how they just went simple with things all together.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. Like, right. there wasn't anything else that really needed to be said, because that's exactly what it is. They're all together. So not only, you know, New Japan But we've got Pro Wrestling Noah, DDT Pro, Dragon Gate, Big Japan Pro Wrestling, and Stardom, which I absolutely love because they are including the women as well. So
right.
I'm very excited for it and excited to see the cross promotion that is going to be going on between all of them. And it's not like they don't already kind of work together. They share talent, I guess.
Yeah.
So a lot of them are going to be names that we already know, but I'm okay with it.
Of course.
Right.
And just coming across my desk here, actually, three matches have been announced already for it. So we've got Shota Omina, Kato Kiyomiya, Yuki Ueno taking on Yuya Uemura. I'm having a hard time butchering the. I'm having an easy time butchering these names. Konosuke Takeshita and Shun Skywalker all in a six-man tag. Tomohiro Ishii and Daisuke Sekimoto are taking on Jeff Cobb and Masa Kadamiya. Hiroshi Tanahashi is going to be on the card. He's teaming up with Senshiro Takagi, Naomichi Marufuji. He's taking on Evil, who is my favorite wrestler right now over there. Ren Narita and Yujiro Takahashi. So already I'm sold. I want to watch this show.
Yep.
And that's only three matches that have been announced. Now I'm wondering if they are going to be doing similar to kind of what New Japan does. We know that New Japan puts on like 6-hour events and kind of breaks them up.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Or 9-hour events and breaks them up into different shows. Right. I wonder if this is going to be the same, similar, or completely different.
I'm wondering if you're going to see it become like a 2-day event like Wrestle Kingdom.
Okay.
That's what I'm pretty sure that's what Carl means by breaking up the event. What I'm intrigued to see about is, are we going to see an All Japan guy take on a New Japan guy? That's where I'm curious about how the booking is going to be. And I have a little bit of concerns from that because of how, if you remember in the 80s, how Super Clash used to be booked. There was a lot of arguing on how to book those shows. A lot of drama going into those. Carl is counting.
It's like 50 years ago, dude.
I realize that, but still, there are those promotions that are like, hey, we want our top guy to beat your top guy. You know what I mean?
Right. And I think that's why they've got, you know, like kind of representatives from each company on a panel, on a board.
Yeah.
Where the decisions are going to be done and made, right? So,
okay. That makes more sense.
It's not going to just, you know, yeah. It's not just going to be like New Japan going, no. You can't. You can't have my guy lose. No. It's, okay, here's the people that we are going to bring to you. You can use these people. Right?
Yeah.
And then it's like they're just being allowed to work a different show with different writers, different bookers, different all of that.
Yeah. I think that's the difference, too, as opposed to just a New Japan versus All Japan. I think now you have to take in the United Japan Pro banner.
Yeah, so it's going to... Okay, so now it's starting to sound more like it's going to be how NWA would book Starrcade, for instance, where it was a committee of guys who would decide, okay, Ric Flair's taking on Harley Race. We're going to put it to vote on who's going to win.
Yeah.
Right. That's how I'm understanding it, and okay. I think that's the best way to go about it. I mean,
yeah,
completely.
OMD, man, you got to stop destroying your studio.
Literally, I shift position to sit up so for a better camera view, and everything falls.
Yeah, his light has fallen twice, at least twice now during the show. He had troubles when he was putting it up. He was all whitewashed for a little bit. his camera glitched out when the first time it fell, just for all of you that are listening so that you understand what's going on.
But yeah, I'm. Oh my God! Now I really want to see that. I'm kind of interested to see Evil and I want to just see Evil in a match again.
Right, of course.
Yeah,
Of course.
But yeah, I'm just.
Yeah, I'm excited for this.
Me too.
And we don't really even know how it's going to be put out and presented to us yet. Whether it's going to be in a pay-per-view capacity, whether it's going to be streamed somehow. Really, I haven't heard any details. I don't know if either one of you have heard any details on that as of yet, but I know that I have not. And I'm really hoping that it is somewhere kind of, I don't even want to say outside of New Japan World, because that will get them some good subscribers as well if they start doing this. But I don't know. I don't know how I would want it to come about, because I know in the pay-per-view realms, you're going to be looking at $50, $60, $70, $80 for the show. And if they're going to break it up into several parts, well, then you're paying like $50 for this one, $50 for the next one, $50 for the next one. So it might be a better idea just to do New Japan World. I don't know. You guys hear anything about it?
The only thing I just looked up is the venue. It could very well be taking place. It's going to be at Budokan Hall, which is where WWE held Beast in the East at, and that's a fantastic venue, by the way. Great venue for wrestling. I'm just that just made me even more excited knowing that it's going to be at Budokan Hall. I kind of wish it was at Tokyo Dome, because a big thing like this, you maybe want to put it at Tokyo Dome. But I know that they're just right now first event, dipping their toe in the water. Budokan Hall works, you know.
Right. Yeah.
All right. So now I know, Carl, you have also had something you wanted to discuss, and I think we're going to make it our showstopper segment. What do you say?
Sure.
Let's talk about the lack of title defenses between our two world champions in the WWE. I actually did some deep researching on this one here as I, there we go.
Yeah.
I had a look at the title defenses between Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins from Royal Rumble of 2023 to today. Okay. Seth Rollins has had 10 championship defenses since the World Heavyweight Championship. 10 televised defenses, I should say.
Okay.
Since the World Heavyweight Championship came into play, Roman has only had 6 televised championship defenses. And I'm emphasizing on televised, because Roman did defend at several house shows throughout the year, as did Seth Rollins. You brought this up to me through a friend of yours.
Yeah.
And I'm going to let you have the floor once again this one.
Yeah, thank you, Chris Cortez. He is the one that sent it to me. Lots of Chris's going around here. Here's what he sent to me this morning. He goes, in a world where we want a fighting champion, Seth hasn't defended since January. Roman hasn't defended since January. At least they could have had Damian cash in and defend the damn title till Mania and then have a triple threat at Mania.
Mm-hmm.
And my response essentially to him was, while I think that that's a really cool idea they could have done to allow the title to be defended, unfortunately, in this new era, with the whole 30-day defending of the championship doesn't seem to be a thing anymore. We definitely are going to be talking about it tonight, which we are. But he's not alone. I've seen, and you mentioned as well to me, that you've seen it on Facebook. People on Facebook have been, kind of bringing this up as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he goes on and he gives me a couple other things here too, but we'll talk about those on another day.
And it's mostly the Roman side of things. And I got to come to the defense of Roman, man, on this one. So Roman Reigns, yeah, he hasn't had very many title defenses since he defeated Bray Wyatt for the Universal title. That's how far back Roman's title run currently goes. But at this point in juncture, I mean, I'm thinking back to, like, I want to go back to the 80s. Did Hulk Hogan have to defend the title every month? No. But when he did, it mattered. And that's what I'm trying to get across to some of these people right now. So when Roman Reigns puts that title on the line, it matters. It adds that extra element of specialness to his championship matches when he puts it on the line. Yes, I know we have PLEs every month. We had Saturday Night's Main Event every month. Hogan also wrestled on those Saturday Night's Main Event. Did he defend the title at every single one of them? No. Most of the time he was in tag team matches, or he was just coming out to help maybe the Ultimate Warrior in a match or something like that. Right. We still did see Hogan on a fairly weekly basis, maybe doing a promo for a house show or something like that. We're in an era right now where we don't necessarily need to see the championship on a weekly basis. We do get Seth Rollins every week with the World Heavyweight title. We don't need to see him wrestling every week and putting the title on the line. We don't need to see Roman every week with the title, but when he does show up, it adds that element of extra specialness.
You know,
it definitely does.
I couldn't agree more, Chris. And I know this, I'm going to put this back to another topic that you and I discussed on here, Carl, and that was part-time superstars.
Right.
Right. I am completely okay with Roman not appearing as much, because it takes me back to when we were younger watching superstars or primetime wrestling or whatever. We didn't have the champion every week.
No.
On the show. So I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it when it's an attraction.
Okay.
I love it. I don't need to go back to the Ruthless Aggression era when it was Edge and Cena, Edge and Orton, Cena and Orton, and the belt changing hands every 2 weeks. So you're trying to think of, okay, who's the champion this week?
Right.
I do think that a 9-month title reign is sort of that perfect fit.
Okay.
As opposed to these, you know, something like Roman's 4-year run, which, I mean, has been incredible for the story that they've put forward.
Yeah. Okay, so here's my position on it. When you are a professional wrestler, what is your main goal and objective?
To win the title.
Yeah.
To become the champion, to win the title. Now, if we're having champions that are holding on to that championship and not defending them for months on end, how is anyone else going to achieve the goal of becoming a champion? Now, right. I understand that we need to build and do storyline and get people behind whoever it needs to be. I understand that. But if the championship isn't being defended, I'm not seeing it being defended, then it means absolute shit. It means nothing. Mm-hmm. That championship should be defended at the PLEs each and every month.
Right. I completely get where you're coming from. And I know that's why they created the World Heavyweight, because of Roman's contract. And I'm going to harken back to Seth Rollins getting injured back in January. And we already knew he was dealing with injuries with his back, with his neck, with everything else.
Right.
So they put a freeze on Damian Priest cashing in, to Chris's point.
Not this Chris, by the way.
Not that Chris. Chris Curtis?
Yeah, Chris Curtis,
So as much, and I disagree with that. I think they should have had it been, you know, yes, a cash in, drop the belt,
right?
And then that way you can focus and yes, have this triple threat at WrestleMania. Do I think we need that tag team match at Mania? No. I'd rather have that triple threat between Priest, Drew, and Seth than have Seth involved in two separate storylines.
Right. And on the men's side of things, okay, you mentioned Damian Priest. I just want to get this out there for everyone as well. On the male side of things, when it comes to Money in the Bank championship holders, I don't think we're going to see Damian Priest cash that in until at least the earliest is going to be the day after WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
Because night one of WrestleMania, to my understanding, if I've done my calculations correctly, will be
the tag team match.
No. The number of days that he's held it. 280.
Oh, okay, yeah.
280 days. Night two is going to be 281 days, which is now a record for the person who has held on to it for the longest amount of days. And the WWE really seems to be in this mode of, records and wanting to break the records
right.
of, you know, what is going on, what has happened in the past to now create their new, legacy of these records going forward.
Right.
So I just wanted to put that out there. So congratulations, right. Damian Priest, because I don't figure you're going to be cashing it in until that record is actually broken. I understand where they came from when they created, the World Heavyweight Championship as opposed to the WWE Championship and separating them and having them on different brands. I get that. I do. But if it can't be showcased, then it becomes meaningless. And what do people even want to fight for then?
Right.
Because I'm sure the people in the back are going, this part-time guy, Roman Reigns, has this championship. I may as well go to AEW or go to TNA Wrestling where I can actually fight for a championship that's defended. Right. Let me go to Ring of Honor where I could fight for championships that are actually defended. Because I'm not getting a chance against Roman Reigns, who's continuing to hold this title on a part-time freaking contract.
Right.
And it's going to be strange if Cody does manage to overcome Roman and then we see that belt actually become a full-time title.
I hope it does.
I do too.
In some way, shape, or fashion, I hope it does. Now I get where they're coming from, and I understand it.
Yeah, we can put Rhea Ripley into the same category because she's had limited defenses of the women's title in the past year.
But Rhea has showed up every freaking week.
So does
regardless.
Seth.
Okay, and now I'm glad you mentioned Seth because we know Seth hasn't defended since January, but that's also because he's been injured as well.
Right.
So we got to factor that in the play here as well.
That's why I've said they needed to allow Damian to actually go down, cash in, and not put a freeze on the Money in the Bank contract like they've done.
Right, but at the same time, they didn't know the extent of Seth's injury until, a week after he got hurt or something like that?
Yeah.
So you already know a week after that he's going to be out for 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
You already know. Make something happen. Can he not work in the ring? If he's not able to work in the ring for those 3 months, then drop the title.
Yeah.
Okay.
Something. Do something. Allow a little tournament to happen.
You look at Gunther. There is a guy who is defending the title every 2 to 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm giving him till well after Mania. I'm giving him over the 2-year mark with the Intercontinental title.
Okay, so this brings up another question. When the heavyweight champion in the UFC gets hurt, when any champion in the UFC gets hurt, they create an interim championship. Is that possible that we could do that for the WWE perhaps?
I really hope not. They did it in AEW and it flopped.
Let me finish, OMD. I didn't get the chance to finish. So, if let's talk theoretics here. Let's say Seth Rollins does get hurt. They create the interim championship. Drew McIntyre wins that interim championship. You can then have that match at WrestleMania to unify those championships to make the definitive, I'm not going to say undisputed because they already use the word undisputed for Roman's belt, to make the definitive world heavyweight champion. You could still do it, in theory.
Again, I revert back to them trying that in AEW, and that was CM Punk and John Moxley.
Okay, but that's AEW's booking. Hunter would know how to do it. AEW wouldn't. Just going to put that out there.
I still don't think that an interim title is a good idea in this situation. I think that it should have just been dropped, even if it was vacated. Because then Seth can come back, get that shot at a title he never lost.
Right, which is exactly what they're doing with an interim championship anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So if we're going to drop the championship or vacate the championship, it's going to go to somebody else. And once that former champion is able to return, they're going to put them into a matchup anyways together. So to have what they're calling an interim championship or an interim champion, I'm okay with that verbiage. Because we know the outcome is going to be the same no matter what. The former champ is going to come back. The new champ and the former champ are going to have a matchup. They're going to determine who is the best because that's where things were headed anyways.
Mm-hmm.
And we're still getting that championship. It's not just sitting on you know a shelf or in somebody's fridge for 3 months while they're recuperating. And it's being defended. And we're getting to see the championship taken wherever this new interim champion is.
Right.
I just want to just quickly get out here. Manny, thank you so much for coming in, saying, Carl, I finally got a name for this era. He does not agree with Parrish, who talked about the evolution era. He is saying the Renaissance era. I think that has a nice ring to it as well.
Yep.
What's going on, Manny? Glad to have you here, by the way.
Good to see you, Manny. Thank you for being here. We appreciate you.
So, yeah, when it comes to these, to the interim champion or vacated championship or anything like that, at the end of the day, it's all going to come back full circle. So no matter what we call it, it doesn't freaking matter. Let's just make sure that the title is showcased on your programming because that is the ultimate goal in your programming is to get that heavyweight championship.
Agreed. And now, and again, that's what they do with the UFC. Again, guy, a fighter gets injured and he's a champion. Okay, let's make an interim championship. Let's put our top two contenders for that heavyweight title in a fight. Whoever wins that, they're the interim champion.
Yeah.
And then you build to that. That next feud. I kind of don't hate that idea, to be honest with you, but I don't know how that would work with Roman's lack of title defenses.
Right.
That's where I'm trying to. I got my the cogs in my head are working on how to figure that one out.
And I mean, I'm with you, Carl, in saying that I do hope that Cody overcomes and finishes his story at WrestleMania. So that we see that title, not necessarily on a weekly basis, but on a monthly basis being defended.
Right. Of course. And even if he doesn't, I mean, I'm okay with that. As long as we have a championship that is being showcased and defended consistently.
Right.
Ben, thank you so much for popping in. Appreciate you, my friend. Yeah, we did hear about Pete Dunne getting a slot in a producer role. We didn't talk about it today, unfortunately. We had a number of topics that we went through here today, and time has gotten away from us. We're already nearing the 1 hour mark. We got like 20 seconds until our 1 hour mark is complete. But thank you so much for coming in. If you want to hear the show again, make sure that you're checking us out on our YouTube channel. It will be there in a replay format for you underneath live, or you can listen to us on Good Pods. Go to goodpods.com. You can find us there as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, Ben, definitely. I mean, especially when you've got good conversation going on, you know, and Ben, you sound as though you may be somebody that is familiar with the business and knowledgeable at the same point. So I invite you back to come and talk with us next week as well. We start at 8:05 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And yeah, we'd absolutely love to have you join in the conversations on our chat. And as you see, we put it all up on screen for everybody as well. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think I've already got what we can talk about next week. I mean, it's going to be Turnbuckle Talks go home to WrestleMania weekend. So what do you say next week we break down the card?
We definitely can. Why not?
Absolutely.
Tyler Toney, good to see you, brother. Thank you so much for coming in. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. We would love to see the Motor City Machine Guns kind of coming in to the WWE, possibly at WrestleMania or that weekend at least. But there is also talks of them having conversations with All Elite Wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I,
yeah, Tony, to like, I'd love to see them come to WWE, but I could also see them going back to another place where they've had success, and that is Japan.
Okay, Japan too. Yeah.
Okay, so Ben, I'm glad you brought this up in the conversation. Carl said he's thinking about going live for the Mania pay-per-view. We are going live that weekend.
Yep.
We are doing a two-night PLE patrol. We are calling it the PLE patrol right here on Turnbuckle Studios. You can join us live and catch our live reactions to everything that happens on those two nights. We will not be doing stand and deliver. A lot of people have been asking me about that. That's going to be a lot to do. A lot of people have asked me about the Hall of Fame. Not going to do that either. Some Slammies. It's going to be WrestleMania and then the night after WrestleMania for the Raw Patrol. Yes. It's going to be a very busy weekend for us that weekend.
Yes. Yes, it is.
And there are some aspects of it that we would just like to maybe be able to sit down and just watch and really enjoy and just kind of take mm-hmm. in without being on camera, especially right. Like the Slammies and the Hall of Fame ceremony and stuff like that. Hall of Fame can be sometimes very emotional for us old school professional wrestling fans.
Yeah.
Because it's still real to us, damn it. you know, that's how old I go with things. But yeah. No. I appreciate you bringing that up. And yeah, there will be a PLE patrol. Ben, if you don't know as well, here on Turnbuckle Studios, we do a Raw patrol where Monday nights we have a bunch of us on screen as we're watching Monday Night Raw. You're seeing us on screen discussing it and talking about everything that is going on. So I invite all of you to subscribe and become part of the Turnbuckle Studios family. Yeah, I really appreciate each and every one of you. I think it's about time that we finish up.
Oh yeah.
So that we keep things good for those that are listening over on the podcast side of things. So first, Chris Best, I want you to let the people know where you are, where they can find you, and what you got going on.
All right, so you can follow me at youtube.com, CBRS Entertainment, twitch.tv, CBRS_entertainment, threads.net at CBSFilms83, facebook.com, chris.best83, tiktok.com, CBRS.entertainment. Where you can look for me is on my CBRS Entertainment YouTube channel. You can look for me Saturday nights as I do Saturday Night Gaming. Will not be doing that for WrestleMania weekend. Oh, hell no. You can also look for me Monday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, alongside Carl Carafel, alongside OMD, Bubba Duke, and Chris Parrish. as we do the Raw Patrol. You can look for me every Tuesday nights, 8:05 Eastern, alongside Carl and OMD, as we do Turnbuckle Talk. Yeah, I felt like I had more to say, but I said my entire spiel.
OMD.
The people can find me on Facebook at Daniel Hrycyk, H-R-Y-C-Y-K. On Snapchat, One Man Dynamic, capitals on O-M and D. On Twitch at OMD17 and on Discord at OMD6370. Visually, if they want to see this moneymaker, they can catch me right here every Monday on the Raw Patrol with you two gentlemen, as well as Chris Parrish, Bubba Duke. They can catch me right here every Tuesday again with you two gentlemen right here on Turnbuckle Talk. On Thursdays, they can catch me on the Boar's Nest with Bubba Duke. We do have the new YouTube for that as well, and it is Bubba OMD. And off to you, Carl.
Okay. If anybody wants to find all of my socials, I made it super simple and easy for everyone. Linktree, linktr.ee/Carl Carafell. That is linktr.ee/KarlKarufel. That is where you can find everything Carl Carafell. Thank you again to each and every one of you for stopping in and spending some time here with us. We really do appreciate you. Remember, everyone, the world's a scary place. Take care of each other.